Last time when I was speaking, I spoke out of Acts, and we looked at scripture where we saw that James was killed by Herod, but Peter was released from prison by the help of an angel. Sometimes things happen where one person gets life and the other death. You know, life is very uncertain. And this morning I'm going to challenge you of the uncertainty of your life. But there is one thing which is very certain, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners. That is certain. There is another thing which is very certain, and that is he's going to come again to judge. And so this morning, if I were to title what I'm going to speak about, it's about redemption and judgment. Both of these are in the plan of God. You know, when I was in India, I couldn't attend the funeral, but I had mentioned it before. A young man, Sam, only 33 years old, was on the treadmill in early morning, and he collapsed, and God called him home. He knew of a certainty that he was a born-again believer. His wife knew. Everyone in his household and his assembly knew he was a solid Christian. There was another man who I don't know, but I heard about, Robert Murray McShane. He has written books. He has given sermons. But the Lord called him home at the age of 29. What if you were to die today? Where would you be? You know, many of you here do not fear death. There's no reason to, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know, God had a plan to redeem sinners. But he has also a plan to judge the quick and the dead, the small and the great. If you open the book of Genesis, you know that man got into trouble. If you open the book of Exodus, the very first word is now. Now in Exodus, God introduces his plan of redemption. And then when you open the book of Leviticus, it starts off with the word and. Genesis, you were in trouble. Exodus, you are out of trouble. Leviticus, you're glad you're out of trouble. And you worship. You bring your offerings. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. I want to give you this first plan of redemption, which we see given to us an illustration of what transpired between John the Baptist and our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very interesting picture. We bring it up a lot of times when we talk about baptism, but today I want to bring it up because it tells you the plan of redemption and God's plan of judgment. Right there in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, it says, this is John speaking, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge the floor." In those two words, baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. When you were born again, you were given the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There was never such thing as there's a point in life where you're going to be anointed. You had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit the time you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But then it says, also with fire, and with fire. That's a time of judgment. You have two options. Either you postpone it and postpone it and postpone it, until you die, but then there is judgment. It goes on in this very passage that as the Lord Jesus Christ comes, in verse 13 it says, to John the Baptist to be baptized, John says, No, I should be baptized by you, and thou comest to me? Now Jesus answered, said unto him, suffer it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. You know what the Lord said when he said to fulfill all righteousness? He was looking at Genesis 22 when Abraham went on Mount Moriah. Abraham was righteous. But how was he made righteous? Because he was looking forward to Calvary. And in Genesis 22 it says, for God himself shall provide a sacrifice, a burnt offering. Our Lord Jesus Christ declares right here in this passage that he was coming to fulfill all righteousness. He was looking forward to Calvary. Now see what happens in the next sentence. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water. As soon as he comes out of the water, lo, the heavens opened. It's not when he went in the water. It's when he came out of the water. Now what is the picture given to us? He was dead and buried, and he was raised from the dead. And that's when the heavens opened. And you see the Spirit of God descending like a dove. And then you hear a voice. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. That's the plan of redemption. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. And there you see another word, lo. And right there it tells us. Then said I, verse 7, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written, to do thy will, O God. God is righteous. Somebody has to pay for the sin of mankind. And he sent forth his Son A body hast thou prepared me. In all the sacrifices of the Old Testament, he has no pleasure. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You see this picture of redemption? All the counsels of the Godhead was determined from before the foundation of the world. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And right here, all three are here. A picture of redemption. Which is what Christ came to do. You know, when I was in Mumbai and I could see in a taxi at eye level, I could see a construction going on where they're building an underground metro railroad. And all over, and I just looked at that board and I was saying it was just tin, metal all around. Lines and lines of it. You can drive in a car for 2 or 3 miles and you'll see that. And there was only one lane for both the traffics back and forth. And I could say, if only somebody would write on those big blankets, are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What an invitation. That's why he came. And when I was in India and I noticed the rituals of religion. Early morning you could hear the temple bells. You could hear the bells ringing. From your hotel room you could hear it. In the evening around 3-4 o'clock you could hear the mosque, the imam shout to their God. The rituals of religion. Everyone is trying to appease God, to find peace, to find rest. Endless rules, endless rituals, repeated each day. Man knows that there is sin which rages in his heart. It's raging sin. Sin is tormenting the man. And sin grows, and it grows. And he wants to lighten that load. He wants someone to come and remove that. You know, what does Isaiah tell us in verse 4? It says, he had borne our griefs. He had carried our sorrows. Why? Because he shall bear our iniquities. It's sin which brings you sorrow. It's sin which brings you grief. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many. I challenge you this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, is it very difficult to accept this invitation to come? Our brother mentioned earlier to believe. Believe in Him. That's all it requires. That's your responsibility. Because there's no way you can find any other way to remove that burden, that grief, that sorrow that rages in your soul. And sometimes you wonder why people can't take a very simple message and accept it and come to Him. As I travel, I see that where people are not ready to leave their life of routine living. They would rather go to the temples and ring the bells and appease the god and bring fruits and bring flowers and put it alongside that graven image. But yet to just accept the invitation to come and believe. Why do people put it off? And that's why I started this morning to tell you that what if the invitation does not come and the Lord takes you away from this earth? Then you're going to deal with Him in judgment. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. This is what we have, are two pictures in the Bible. One, at his baptism, he declared that he has come to fulfill all righteousness, the very purpose of his coming. And that was the significance when he went in the water to signify his death and his burial and to rise again. And here is this picture in Revelation chapter 20. That if you do not deal with the Lord Jesus Christ now, in grace, and the love He has for you and I, later you'll have to face Him in judgment. In between, He takes the church out. But right now I want us to picture the plan of redemption and the plan of judgment. Those two are definitely going. The judgment is going to happen. Calvary has already happened. If you keep deferring, you will meet Him in judgment. There's a lot of uncertainty in life today. In this passage 20, verse 11, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." John the Baptist says that there's one who is greater than I who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That fire is this judgment. And when you look at this passage, you see that there's a distinct place the great white throne. Brilliantly white. White is an absolute color. There is no speck of dirt. And Scripture has, God has chosen the word so precisely in the Bible. Of all the colors, deliberately white. Because that is the absoluteness of God. He is all righteous. So you see a throne. But you also see it is the Lord who is the judge. It's the same one who stooped down so low to go to the cross of Calvary. It's the same one. And how do we know that? Go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And I'm so glad Mitch spoke on that. Because John chapter 5 has so much to offer us. So much of the truth in John chapter 5 verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Look at chapter 5 and verse 26. For as the Father had life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to give life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. He is going to execute judgment. In Acts chapter 10, verse 42, he says, he is ordained of God to execute judgment. But there was a time when you looked at his face, which was marred like no other man. When he from the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He says, it is finished. Now you find that you cannot hide from him. It is a definite place, the great white throne. And it is the Lord who is going to judge. Who are the people? It's a people. It says the dead, small and great. The Hitlers, the Alexander the Great, Napoleon, all the potentates. And it is the small, ordinary man. All the people who were dead without accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. That's the distinction. It's the one who refused it, put it off. Until they were gone. Into darkness. Go back to John chapter 5. And in John chapter 5, we read in verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. How clear can the gospel be? He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me had everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. These people who reject him are passed from death unto death. Because they are cast into the lake of fire. It's a tormenting death. Chapter 6, verse 29 of John. They said unto him, and our brother said it this earlier today, he said, when they looked at him, he had fed on the 5,000 and he had done all this. They asked him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And that's what I found when I was traveling, everybody's doing works for God. They're either running around the temple 10 times and then coming and putting flowers on the graven image, or they're doing some other work. And the people of the day of our Lord, they are asking the same thing as the people today. What should I do? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he had sent. It's a question of believing. That's all we need to do. That's our human responsibility. And if you are here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, the plea is to come unto him and believe. Don't worry about whether God ordained you and destined you. Let's not get into the mind of God. But let us come to him and accept him as our Lord and Savior. And then in his foreknowledge, he may have known that he were going to come. But here is what the people, small and great, will realize, that it's too late. Too late to have rejected a simple invitation to believe and to put the trust and faith on Calvary and our Lord Jesus Christ for what was done at the cross. It's a place, a great white throne. It is the Lord who is the judge. It is all the people who rejected him, small and great. And what is the outcome? The outcome is the lake of fire. I mean, really speaking, the Lord doesn't want anyone to perish. That lake of fire was for the devil and the fallen angels. That's what the purpose was. But when he came, there were many who rebelled again and said, no, we want to reject him. And they put it off and they put it off. Until they too will join in the lake of fire. Now, remember, in this very passage, there's something very interesting. There is the books and there is book. What is it? Because you know the outcome, you know the place, you know who is the judge, you know who is dead and the ones who are big and great, And then there is the documentaries. You ever see documentaries? One movie after another? Multiple. Documentary of your life when you were a teenager. Documentary of your life when you were a worker. Documentary of your life when you were a retired person. All those books are going to be seen. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to see that documentary one after another, one book after another. And believe me, you don't want to see that. If you know this, you would want to accept Him now as your Lord and Savior and believe in Him. Because every mouth will be stopped if you reject Him, because you come under condemnation. Oh, I was in Sunday school. I was in the Sunday school with Kate Stello, and she told me this story, and I raised my hand and I answered the question. But did you believe? Did you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Oh, yes, I was. I went to church, and I gave an offering, and I did this, and I did that. But did you accept? Was there a time in your life where you really came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you remember that? That you made the about turn and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There are many who raise their hand. And that is why it says in this passage that another book was opened. And that is the book of life. Go to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. And you want us to just read that. Verse 8. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The book of life, the Lamb's book of life, is where your name is written and all your sins are blotted out. So when you see the documentaries of the books of life and you say, but I did this, but I did this. But the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, doesn't have your name. In a book of life is the name of every person who looked at the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. The Abel, the priest in the tabernacle, all the priests in Leviticus, all the prophets, all the men of the Old Testament, looking forward to Calvary. And all of us looking back to Calvary. John says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Is your name in the Lamb's book of life? Or are you going to put off accepting this simple invitation to come to Him and believe? Because if you do, your name's in the Lamb's book of life. If you don't, you are going to see a documentary of your life at the great white throne. What would you like to do? Do you want to come to him if you haven't done so? And then you can remember that it was in Myrtle Beach at such and such a day. You may not remember the exact day, but at least you will know there was a certain time in your life when you made that turn from being a sinner to accepting Christ and becoming a saint. Is there anyone here this morning who would like to do that? Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Do it now. This is a time when you can take him as your Lord and Savior. There is going to be a time of judgment, but come to him in grace and love. And he's so patient. You know, every time we say the Lord's going to come soon, yes, but he's so patient. He's waiting for everyone to receive the gospel and accept his invitation. He's doing that in India. He's doing that in China. He's doing that in Korea, in Africa, in North America, right here. And he's doing it for you. Will you accept him as your Lord and Savior if you haven't done it? And those who have, what a time of rejoicing it is that my name is written in the book of life. And if I'm on a treadmill and if I were to collapse, I know where I'm going. If I'm on that road and I'm run into an accident, I know where I'm going. Life is very uncertain. So let us not put it off. Before I close in prayer, shall we sing hymn 472? And call it, Bobby, could you sing that? 472, and I'll close in prayer.
My Jesus, I love thee, I know. Of glory and endless delight.
Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy word this morning. We thank Thee that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is so clear throughout Scripture that He came into this world to save sinners. And God, our Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, that You gave us Your precious. You gave us Your precious Son, that He would come down for the very purpose to go to the cross of Calvary and die for our sins. We thank Thee that in Your wisdom You had this plan of redemption so perfectly laid out that it's so simple. All it is an invitation to come and to believe. God, our Father, we thank Thee for all those here this morning who know Thee as Your Lord and Savior. We thank Thee for their conviction, their belief, their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, this morning we pray for anyone here this morning who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. Anyone young or small, anyone who has put it off, had heard it, has tasted it, but yet not taken it in, we pray that that individual, in the silence of this room, in a small prayer, cry out from the very depths of her or his heart, "Jesus, I believe. Come to me. Come into my heart. I accept You as my Lord and Savior." May that simple prayer be of that soul who will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ even today. We pray, O Lord, for that person. God, our Father, we thank Thee again for bringing us together this day. May we go from here rejoicing that we know the Lord Jesus Christ. May we rest in peace, and may we tell others about the wonderful love which has shown to us on the cross of Calvary, so that we may have eternal life. We thank Thee. We pray all of this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.